Time for the property bolts here at 96.7 TSAFM. Every single Wednesday, we talk real estate stuff. And in the studio with me right now is the one and only real estate lawyer, Kevin Rogers from SkiCountryLegal.com. What's going on, Kevin?
Oh, not much. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm surviving the heat and humidity. And but we're getting some break today for sure.
Yeah.
It's not as hot as it was yesterday.
It looks like it might come down out there soon.
Absolutely. But, yeah. So what's going on the property pulse today? What are you talking about?
So today, going to talk about short-term rentals, kind of a hot topic issue really around the state. Uh-huh. It was something that wasn't really heavily regulated a couple years ago even. People could, you know, buy a house, rent it out on a short-term basis through Airbnb, VRBO, you know, mm-hmm. those sorts of services. Mm-hmm. And nobody was really like looking over their shoulder, making sure they weren't packing 20 people into a, you know, three-bedroom house, anything like that.
Right.
Times seem to be changing. The state's taking some steps to you know, limit the amount that are around, but also the towns are mostly playing the largest role in regulating, making sure that they're safe, which is really mm-hmm. important. And
So. They don't want any money.
Oh, no, they definitely want some money out of it. Okay. But, you know.
They're just not looking to be safe then. Yeah.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, a couple years ago, it was a little bit like the Wild West. There wasn't really any regulatory body, or the towns weren't really paying attention to who was doing what with their properties.
Mm-hmm.
There was a growing concern that a lot of houses were being bought during COVID, and then, long-term rentals were being converted into short-term rentals. So kind of led to the housing crisis a little bit in the state.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of news out there about that. But also, people in the communities weren't happy because, you know, you have your house in Vermont, you expect it to be quiet, and, you know, you've got your own little piece of the country.
Right.
But then, you know, your neighbors got short-term rentals coming in and out every weekend, different people. Like I said, it could be, you know, 20 people in a little house.
Yeah.
Cars parked all up and down the road.
Right.
So townspeople were getting unhappy as well.
Yeah.
And the towns have started to do something about it. So part of what people talk to me about is, you know, if they do intend on using their property as a short-term rental, which is a viable option,
mm-hmm.
You know, what do they need to do to make sure they're able to do that successfully? And, you know, how much is it going to cost? That sort of thing.
Right. It can't do it forever. It's probably just a limited time, right? Somewhere on, you know,
yeah.
what I mean? Like maybe 3 months, and then you got to go back to living there or something.
Yeah, there aren't even requirements like that. So it used to be that, Wilmington, for instance, their short-term rental ordinance in the past dictated that you needed to actually live there, right? It needed
yes.
to be like a bedroom in your house. And that was kind of the traditional Airbnb when uh-huh. they first started. You know, you've got an extra bedroom, your kids moved out, you know, why don't you make some income and rent this out to a stranger?
Right.
And since then, it's kind of evolved to be, you know, you buy a house, especially where I am in Dover and Wilmington. It's a ski, you know, ski town. So mm-hmm. a lot of people will buy second homes, and then, you know, they want to use it themselves to come up and ski or come up during the summer,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is.
Right.
But when they're not using it, they want to earn some income so that
yes.
they can offset their mortgage payment, their
right.
tax payments, and,
yeah.
you know, rent it out for half the year. So.
Makes sense, yeah.
So it works for a lot of people, but towns have recently started implementing more strict rules regarding them.
Okay.
So I'd say at the baseline, and not all towns have put in place short-term rental ordinances, but a lot have them on the dockets if they don't have something in place already. So I'd say at the base level, it's more of a registration system where the town's making a little bit of money every year. You know,
mm-hmm.
we want to know who is using their property as a rental. So if we're getting complaints from the neighbors that, you know, people are up till 3 a.m. and all
I
that
see.
Stuff, they kind of know why.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they can issue zoning violations based on that, or they, you know, notify the police that this could be an issue.
Yeah.
So that's at the very base level, just a registry. More towns are starting to do that, but then also add in fire and safety regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So before, you know, when you're building a house, you should be building it to code, but a lot of older homes in the area are, you know, grandfathered in when it comes to things like having egress from a bedroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's a fire, you need to be able to climb out the window
yes.
and get out of the house.
Right, right.
A lot of houses in the area don't have that. You know, it might be
uh-huh.
a bedroom in a walkout basement or something like that, where it's just a smaller window that doesn't technically count as egress, but it's still considered a bedroom by the town because
yes.
you can sleep in there.
Right. Need a ladder.
Yeah, need a ladder or need something to get out. Yeah.
I'm jumping. Yeah. Forget it.
So the introduction of fire and safety rules is a good thing overall, for sure. But it's something that people aren't really aware of because it's not, especially when you're buying a house, you know, you're going to get your property inspection and they're going to point out some health and safety issues like, you know, having the right electrical outlets in places, making sure the electrical panel is updated, stuff like that. But they're usually not super concerned about, you know, whether a bedroom is considered a bedroom because of egress issues, for instance. So getting a fire and safety inspection prior to closing is really helpful because you know, you've got the fire marshal in there looking through it and, you know, you might think that you're buying a 4-bedroom house. So you can list, you know, an Airbnb for a 4-bedroom and get this amount of money for it. Mm-hmm. Then the fire inspector comes in and says, well, these two aren't bedrooms unless you spend $20,000 to do these upgrades. Right. Or you're going to need to do, you know, for instance, have an electrical panel that serves that, you know, unit.
Right.
If it's, you've got a multi-unit building, you might need to have a panel in each bedroom, or not bedroom, I'm sorry, but each unit.
Yes, gotcha.
So those things can add up quickly, and it can really add to stress when you purchase in October, for instance, expecting to get it on the market for ski season.
Yes.
And then you realize that you can't do it because you've got to do all these upgrades.
Right.
So the towns are requiring that the property be up to fire code. So that's something important to keep in mind.
Before you buy it, you gotta call the fire department.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessary, but it is something that you should know.
Yeah, you don't want to find out later.
Yeah, and a seller might not be interested in, you know, contributing towards making sure there's egress in every bedroom because, you know, they have a 3-bedroom house. It's always been used as that. The town considers it a 3-bedroom house, so they're going to list it as that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's really no problem with it, but if your use, you know, is intended to be a short-term rental or really a rental at all, you're going to need to comply with the fire code. So that's one aspect. The other big one is wastewater. So we kind of talked about that last time with getting wastewater permits, making sure that your septic system can support a certain amount of people living in a place.
Yeah, yeah.
Going back to that example, you know, cramming 20 people into a 3-bedroom house probably has a pretty small septic system, and that's a lot of people using it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so the state and the towns really want to avoid and having septic systems fail, having, you know, sewage leak onto your neighbor's property or, you know, into a stream
Stinky.
Or river or, yeah, to say the least. So when towns are going, and this is how it is in Wilmington, right? Wilmington requires some fire and safety. You've got to be compliant there. But they also review your permits to see, you know, what size is your septic system? How many people can it actually support?
Yeah.
And they'll actually go out and monitor your listing to make sure, you know, if you tell them and you need to provide support for it, that you have a 3-bedroom house that can, you know, fit 6 people or 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be looking at your listing, making sure that you're not marketing it as a 3-bedroom with a, you know, 12 or 14 occupancy.
Absolutely, so, yes.
So that's something that the towns are doing. And it's not, like I said, not every town's like that. You know, Brattleboro is more of a registry system. You've got to be compliant fire code. Dover is the same way. But some towns are more restrictive when it comes to that.
Okay.
And I think more towns are moving towards that as well.
But, all right.
It kind of varies.
So the bottom line is, should we or shouldn't we get the rentals?
I mean, it's the market's still strong for it. I mean, tourism's really big here.
Right.
People come here every year, pretty much every season, and they need a place to stay. You know, there are hotels and inns and that sort of historic model.
So where do you come into play on all this?
So I come into play where, you know, a lot, like I said, a lot of my clients, they're buying a house and they want to use it part-time as a short-term rental. And they just need to know what they're getting into. You know, what town are they purchasing in? What are the ordinances like there? Is there anything coming up, right? There might not be an ordinance in place now, like in Newfane. They don't have anything in place, but they've got one that's going to be introduced soon. So
we should call you first.
Yeah, I'd recommend,
And then you might know, like, the area or whatever, if it has something to do with it, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And if I don't know a fan, then I can make calls and look it up and, you know, give advice.
Because people always, people want to look for a place to start.
Yeah.
That's the hardest place. Well, who do I call first? You know, do I call the fire department? Do I call you?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, a realtor's a good resource. You know, your attorney's a good resource because we do know those, you know, there are a lot of different pieces that go into
absolutely.
Right? And it does vary town by town. So some might just have nothing on the books. You can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And people prefer that. But, you know, if you're going to be in one of those towns where there's a Dover, Wilmington, where there's a lot of tourism, their restrictions are probably going to be more strict, and you should know what you're getting into before buying.
Great. I learned a lot already in just this 10 minutes.
Well, if you need to find out anything else,
you're awesome. No, you're good. You bring a lot to the property pool, so I appreciate you for sure. You're a great guy. I've said it before, and you know your stuff. You do. You really know it.
Yeah, well, thanks, Tom.
So, absolutely. So, if you want to get a hold of Kevin, go to SkiCountryLegal.com or go to our website, WTSAradio.com. You can get the link to his website right there. And, of course, all your previous podcasts are up there as well.
Great.
Right?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kevin. You're the man, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right. See you, Tom.
All right. Take care. There goes Kevin Rogers from SkiCountryLegal.com and the Property Pulse at 96.7 TSA FM.